Hi, I'm so excited to welcome you all to another episode of the Socialistic Approach podcast. And of course, I'm your host, Sharon Irvise, and I have a special guest today. Denise is with us, Denise March. But before I introduce this wonderful and amazing woman, she's definitely one of my top amazing individuals that I met this past 2023. And like little brief moments that we've had has been so impactful in my life that I definitely had to invite her to be part of this podcast. I really want to set the tone for what we're talking about today. I'm excited to bring this topic because I think it's so needed. As we move away from 1 year and enter another one, we have the opportunity to build a brand new relationship and one that is with us. So Denise and I have been talking about a very meaningful subject to her. You know, we speak a lot about self-care, self-love. These are words that are so like redundant and even marketed on so widely that sometimes we forget the true meaning of that. And today we want to embrace another element of that. And it's about having a self-friendship. How beautiful is that? So many of us are seeking friendships everywhere, right? Because we are community-based people. But we often forget to build a relationship, a friendship with us first. So today we're talking about how do we become our best friend, like ourselves' best friend. Denise, how are you doing? How excited are you to talk about this?
Listen, I am over the moon excited. I can talk about this all day long. I am so ready for this conversation because, just like what you said, it's not talked about enough. You know, we talk about self-love, self-worth, which are very important, but because we hear those terms so often, we lose the meaning behind it. And so many people don't really grasp what those words mean anyway, you know. And so when we bring in self-friendship, it's like laying the foundation. So I'm not going to keep talking about that because I know we're going to get into it, but I'm excited. I'm ready.
It's such a powerful topic that even when we were planning for this episode, we were already getting so deeply into it. So we will, right? But if the first portion of this intro did not convince you, then let me tell you a little bit more about Denise and why she's such an important individual to just this world and other women especially. So Denise is a transformational mindset coach, inspirational speaker, and the published author of Do It For Yourselfie. I love that name. A guide to loving yourself, redesigning your life, and getting aligned from within. She is also the founder of Raw, Redesign and Align from Within LLC. Denise guides emerging and established female business owners and passion project creators to prioritize their dreams and desires by increasing self-love. So this is why this is important, right? Self-love, self-friendship, and spiritual awareness. Through guided coaching experiences, retreats, workshops, speaking engagement, and her podcast, Getting Raw with Denise, which by the way, you can also find on Spotify. She equips individuals and groups with empowering tools and focused mindsets for lasting transformation. Denise's passion lies in helping people exceed their perceived limits and create meaningful change in their lives. When she's not inspiring others, Denise enjoys traveling with her husband, creating memories with her daughter and grandson, cuddling with her fur babies while watching The Golden Girls. I love it. Or a good scary movie, indulging in solo dance parties and reading on the beach. And I can tell you, Denise is the real deal. You hear these descriptions about people and all these social media influencers, but I can tell you this woman lives this. And this is why she's able to help other people step into that platform for themselves, whatever that dream line looks like. So welcome, Denise.
Karen, thank you so much for saying the beautiful words as well. I appreciate that so much, and I appreciate being on this platform with you today.
Absolutely. And we're in live and color here. So, you know, of course, there's like a light that's like, no, I don't want to work for you anymore. So we're going to put it to the side. All right. So digging into this really important topic, of self-friendship, what does it mean? to have a self-friendship, and why is it important?
So, you know, the best way to describe having self-friendship is thinking about having a friendship with someone else. And even though on one side, having self-friendship may seem like common knowledge, common thing, for a lot of people, no, it's not that common knowledge. It's not that simple. It's more so, what does that mean to be my own friend? And so a really easy way to think of it is, well, what does it mean to be someone else's friend? You know, and when you're someone else's friend, you show up for them, you trust them, you support them, you challenge them, you love them, you see them for who they truly are, you encourage them. And so all those things that we do in a friendship with someone else, we just learn how to turn that within and do that for ourselves. And this is so important because the way that we treat ourselves is truly a reflection of how we treat others. And now, I actually really want to challenge this, what I just said, because I know that there's someone listening to this right now and thinking like, no, I actually treat people better than I treat myself. Okay. Let's go there for a minute. Okay. So let's say that you don't treat yourself very well and you're pretty aware of this and you think that you treat other people better. It's not so much that you are treating them better. You just may see them as someone that you think is better than you. Right? So many times we put ourselves down or we have so much doubt within ourselves and we put all these other people on pedestals. And so it's not so much that you're treating them better. You just think that they're better. So you treat them differently. But if you think about it, if you don't know how to trust yourself, I promise you probably have some trust issues, right? If you don't know how to show up for yourself, you probably don't always know how to show up for others in very genuine ways. And what I mean by that is that you may think you show up for people with the best intentions, but usually it's for deeper meaning, right? It's let me show up for them so they think I'm special. Let me show up for them so they think that I'm reliable, right? But when we know how to do those things for ourselves with true intention, right? And with the real meaning, the genuinity of it, then we're able to do that for other people. So that self-friendship is laying the foundation of how we're able to treat other people because we know how to do that for ourselves. And so even when, you know, my book, Do It For Yourselfie, you know, we talk about self-worth, self-love, self-confidence, all the things like within ourselves. But truly, 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 self-friendship is a big part of that. And so yeah. Let me pause there. Cause I can keep going on and on.
But yeah, I know. Cause my mind was literally like all these like thoughts, ideas were coming up because there's so much into this. It's not as simple as just saying, have a friendship with yourself, be your friend. Some of us don't understand what a friendship even means with other people. How are we going to understand it with ourselves? And here's some of the things that come up. Number one, not only can you be treating somebody else because in a better way that you do yourself because you think that they're better, but sometimes you're reflecting back in your treatment of them, what you wish you would have for yourself. That's another side of that. Yes. So you're treating the other person as you wish you were treated. And this is where sometimes you may fall under a needy status. You're a needy person or a needy friend that's doing everything for everybody, that's trying to please everybody, to try to reflect back to you how you would like to be treated. And then you're also missing the point of how you're treating other people might be a way of how you want to be treated, but in reality, that's not even how they want to be treated. And this is why, so this is like a revolution of things, right? Like you have the not know how to be a friend to yourself, and you think you're being a good friend because you're acting out of the things that you particularly need. And then you're not even seeing what that other individual needs. And let me tell you, there's a big difference between doing things out of pleasing, doing things out of thinking you should do them a certain way in order to receive a certain thing than when you're in authenticity. That's why there's great individuals, loving individuals out there that will lovingly tell you no. And you're like, wait, what? You're telling me no? I never tell you no. Guess what? That's your problem, babe.
Yes.
They're okay with telling you no in a loving way. And it doesn't mean that they care about you any less. But we can't understand that because we haven't learned how to be our friend first. and what to say no to and what to say yes to and all the things. So.
Yes. To the point of what you were saying with people being able to say no, that with the boundaries, right? Again, it's really challenging. I know we only have so much time, like seriously, to talk, but I really want to drill this into people that it is really challenging for you to do something for someone else if you cannot do it for yourself. If you don't know how to set boundaries for yourself, it's going to be hard for you to set boundaries with other people. Because again, you're internalizing it. Well, if I set a boundary, what if they're mad at me? What if they don't like it? What if they reject it and all the things? Like, but when you have that self-awareness, is a big ingredient. And when we lack self-awareness, we're not aware of self. It's you're not aware of yourself. So that means you're really unaware of what's going on around you. You have you're disillusioned with what's really going on. You know, so the more that we build up that self-awareness, that self-friendship, those boundaries, we're creating a foundation and cultivating a relationship with ourselves. So we are able to have better relationships with other people. You know, so many people are getting into relationships with the wrong intention, right? Let me just find someone to share my life with so I can have this reality of having kids or having a house or doing all these things that I think I'm supposed to do. But man, I found this partner, but I'm still not happy. I'm still upset. I'm still not seeking what I want. I'm not getting what I want. Oh, let me be friends with this person because they seem cool. But every time they do something nice for me, I'm questioning their motives. Because you are not clear with you. You're not stable with you. And so this is why it's so important to really build up that relationship with ourselves. So it does help us have better relationships with other people.
I will almost say not understanding how to have a self-friendship is literally a doorway to not having peace.
Absolutely.
Because everything's going to be questioned. There's no foundation. And a self-friendship builds a foundation for yourself, who you are, where you're going, how you treat yourself, what you don't do, what you do. Because again, we'll get stuck on one question. So, okay. How would you describe the struggle in creating a self-friendship? Because a lot of people are hearing this and like, I resonate with someone, but I don't know where to even begin, right?
Mm-hmm. So that's a really, really good question. And the reason it's such a good question is because so many people don't know where to start. They may think like, okay, that sounds good. Sure, I want to be my own bestie, but how do I do this? Especially when we've been programmed to kind of do the opposite, right? We've been programmed to look good for other people and be nice to other people and, you know, do all these things to please other people, get the good grades, get the good job, you know, make something of yourself so the other people are proud of you. So we hear that a lot, right? What we don't hear a lot of is be proud of yourself, love on yourself, be your own friend. You don't hear that a lot. So even hearing it now as fully functioning adults, hearing it now still feels like a foreign concept because it's like, I don't get it. I just don't get it, right? So again, go back to thinking, how do you start a friendship with someone else? So first thing, all right, Sharon, we got together for lunch. Let's see if we vibe. Let's see if we get along. Let's see if we have some commonalities. Let's see if we like spending time with each other. Let's ask each other questions that, you know, let's discover a little bit more about each other, right? Let's start to build that trust with one another, right? That's how you build the relationship. You start to get to know that person, ask them questions. So as silly as this may sound, you know, or maybe it doesn't sound silly, but do that for yourself. Ask yourself, well, what do I like to do? You know, like if I were to go out to lunch by myself, where would I go? Now, I don't have to consider what someone else wants to eat or not eat, but where do I want to go? What kind of environment do I want to be in? If I were to choose where I live, where would I go? Not thinking about my family or my friends, but where would I like to be? What are some hobbies I like? So really asking yourself, because a lot of the times when we do ask ourselves questions, we're considering other people, which isn't a bad thing. However, since we're talking about self-friendship, it needs to focus on you. First, get to know you right now, right? So what is it that you want? And a lot of times, if you ask someone, like, tell me who you are, tell me about yourself. Most time, go talk to 10 people, ask 10 people, say, tell me about yourself. They're going to most of the time start with their title, what they do for work. Or if they're a parent, they're going to, oh, I have kids. They're going to bring up titles because that's how most people know how to describe themselves or identify themselves is by their titles. But if you were to ask them, okay, tell me more about you outside of your titles. What do you mean? What do you mean? Like, I'm a mom and I'm a business owner and yeah, I like to read. Is that what you mean? Like, what do you mean? Right?
Nobody ever starts that sentence with I'm a caring human being, I'm creative. They're like, what?
And please know, for those listening, this is not to shame or blame you or make fun of you. This is just bringing some reality to this conversation that most people cannot talk about who they are without titles, right? But this is where we need to get to know ourselves. Who are you? What do you want? How do you want to live? Because in case you've forgotten, you got this one gosh darn life to live right now. Right now, you're living it right now. We don't have like infinite number of days, right? We are here for however many days we're here for. So why wouldn't you want to live it in the best way possible? And the best way possible is having that peace within yourself. And you get that peace within yourself by really knowing who you are and what you want. And it doesn't mean you have to know it all because that's impossible. You're not going to know it all. But you at least need to know in this moment, what is it that I want? What is it that I need? What do I desire? That doesn't have to do with other people. That's you know all that already. You know what you need for your family, what they need from you. You know all that. I'm talking about you. What is it that you want? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. Get clear on that. And I'm telling you, it just opens up a whole new world of inner peace, clarity, awareness, and joy.
And the other thing to that just kept coming up for me is boundaries are so attached to that. But here's the key thing and how it correlates to looking at yourself. Often when people are trying to learn how to place boundaries, they know that they're a people pleaser. They know that they're feeling resentment and they're overextending themselves and they're exhausted. Again, a route for burnout. They're often concerned about who they need to place the boundaries on and how that person is going to react. But they have never had the conversation with themselves first. And so I actually created key questions for people who are starting to place boundaries on how to analyze those situations. And the key, like the common factor there is me, I. So, what am I willing to do and not willing to do in this situation? Am I giving myself enough time to respond yes or no? How can I respond that I need more time to think? Like all these things that are like, am I honoring myself? Meaning, are you honoring your values, your needs? If not, then what does the answer need to be? And so they're so focused on, I gotta tell my mom or my sister or this person, like, I can't do this no more. And I don't know how they're going to react rather than even asking themselves first, well, what are you willing to do and not willing to do? Because boundaries have a lot to do with compromise. And so if you don't know how to have those with yourself, then it's really hard to project them to the rest of the world. And that all comes down to what you're saying. When you have a friendship with you understand your limits, you understand your needs, you understand your values, and therefore you're understanding who you are, your character. How you desire to show up into the world, what inspires you? And then guess what? We both can certify this. Answers will start flowing in your head. You will start knowing what it is true and what isn't. Because you know you have it inside of you. You know what you're not willing to do. You know what you don't want to do. And you know when you're doing it and you're performing in those relationships and you're performing with yourself. So that really led me to look at that aspect of like, where do you start? Well, a friendship involves all these little things that you need to start doing, asking yourself these questions and also asking yourself, what am I willing to continue and what am I not willing to continue anymore? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What a great question to start being a friend to yourself, you know?
Yes.
Okay, so where can we begin to do this work, right? We talked about asking ourselves questions, but what would it look like? What would a good practice be to start implementing this? Because I can think of so many, but everybody's so different. So in your experience, what do you feel this can look like for most people or the options that they have?
So there are quite a few ways that people can go about this. One way is getting some type of support. Now, here's the thing. There's different types of support. There could be healthy friendship support, like with another person, like someone you trust in your life. Having that type of support, getting professional support, whether it's from a therapist, a coach, a mentor, joining some type of support group or community. What this helps to do is to get you into an environment of where you're able to think in a different way. So the reason why so many people struggle with self-friendship or making just pretty much just making any changes in their lives is because they are so attached to their old way of doing things, their old beliefs. And old even is like a minute ago. Okay, so old is anything that's not present. So people are so attached to those old ways of being and doing, and it becomes so habitual that it's hard to break it. Or they tell themselves it's hard to break it. So you'll hear a lot of people say, well, I've just always been this way, or this is just how I've always done things. Well, you're choosing to do that. No one told you that. You like, you're just choosing to just continue to do the, actually, let me take that back. People probably did tell you that you had to do that. And you're owning that as your truth. You're saying, I'm choosing to continue to believe this way, to do these things, to show up this way. But that means you also have a choice to make a different decision. You have a choice to do things differently in your life. It's a choice. And so the more that you tell yourself, I can or cannot, that's your truth. So where do you start? You start by being willing to do things in a different way. Not just talking about it, but actually doing it. Not saying like, oh, well, I'll wait to the beginning of next month. Why? or I'll wait until my kids are grown, or I'll wait until I'm healthy, or I'll wait until the, you know, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Do you think things are going to be better? No, that happened. Would have just gotten stronger. You're waiting to do what? Making it hurt worse on yourself. Start now. Start with just saying, I'm willing. I'm willing to make some changes. Like, seriously, where do you start is saying, I'm willing. Because even with getting the support, the willingness comes before getting the support, because you can hire someone all if you want, but if you're not willing to do the work with that coach, mentor, therapist, support group, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. So first step is saying, I'm willing to make some changes. Even if I don't know what that is, I'm willing to discover what that is. I'm willing to find out. All right. Mm-hmm. Also with that willingness is understanding why. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Now, this is my suggestion, my opinion, my thought on this. People can disagree, and that is okay. That's the beauty of human nature. We can disagree. All right. But here's where I'm going to go with this. Okay. When you're saying, I'm willing to make this change, and you have to understand why you are making this change, it cannot be about someone else. It cannot. Now, I know that there is a mom listening to this right now who's saying, no, if I want to make changes, I want to make changes for my children. Okay. There is someone who's in a relationship and they're thinking, I want to make these changes so I have a better relationship with my partner. So I'm doing this for my partner. Maybe someone listening who's a daughter, a son, or child of parents who are still alive, and they say, I want to make my parents proud. These are all nice. They're nice. They're good. And there's nothing wrong with it. But no, it has to be about you. It has to be about you, because whether you are a mom, a daughter, a son, a child, a partner, or whatever, you have people in your life. I get it. I have people in my life. I get it. I understand. We do want to be better for them, but you can only be better for them if you're first better for yourself. Please hear that part. You can only be better for them if you're first better for yourself. This is why, when you're saying, I'm willing to make changes for myself, the reason behind it has to be about yourself. So saying, I want to do this because I want to be a better mom, that's another title. Remember, we talked about going beyond the titles. All right, I want to do this because I want to be a better spouse or better partner to my significant other. That's a title. Now, again, those are important titles. They mean something to you. Absolutely. But for me, when I was on my self-friendship, self-love, self-discovery journey, it wasn't about my daughter. It wasn't about my partner. It wasn't about those things. At first, I kept saying it. I was like, I got to do this for my daughter. But I was in such a dark place that that wasn't even strong enough. And here's the other thing. Here's the truth. If that were the case, if you're still, if there's a mom listening to me right now and they're still wanting to say, Denise, I don't agree with you. I want to make these changes for my children. If that's true, why haven't you done it already? Do you see what I'm saying? You can say it's about other people, but if you haven't done it already, it wasn't strong enough. This has to be about you. This has to be personal. This has to be personal. Like, if you don't remember anything else I say today, this has to be personal. This is about you. And when you make it about you, I promise you, the better you are with yourself, the better those other relationships you have will be because you know how to show up better for you so you can show up better for other people. You have to make this personal.
I went back to our conversation because it was such a great analogy. You were sharing with me a little analogy you share once with someone else, right? It's like before the husband and before the kid and before the job. Who was there? Who's there? You were there. And
You,
you know how
yes.
the saying goes, you come here alone, you die alone, right? Like, I don't know, even twins come along because you're not coming out at the same time. So technically you came alone, right? So even that. But oh my God, it goes deep in a lot of ways. Like I even, just thought about that and I'm like, yeah, you gotta be with you first. Let me tell you something. I have, speaking about practices, one that organically comes to me is that I talk to myself all the time. Out loud, I'm a verbal processor and I don't care. My husband has called me a few times, so has other family members, and they already know I'm having a sharing dialogue. And let me tell you something, I talk to God first, then I talk to myself, and then I redirect and see who else I need to share this conversation with. But first, I talk to God and then I talk to me because I have to know how I feel about it. I have to know how this looks for me. And that is how I've been making a friendship with myself all these years. Even as a child, I used to do this and didn't realize that this was me trying to connect with me. So, in whatever way that looks like, journal, if you're visual, find something that helps you put those ideas or those answers into a visual form for yourself. Like, as you're asking yourself, maybe there's a visual project you can do. There's so many things, it doesn't have to look the same. And nobody even has to know about it because, again, this is about you. And I think that there's a pressure on women, especially, to be this nurturer and how dare you put yourself before your children. Listen, we're not talking about leaving your kids behind so you can go off and do whatever. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about putting yourself first, meaning it has a measurement in the love that you have for your children or your husband. We're talking about that you are the source in their life. In a very meaningful way. If you love your children, you gotta love you first. My gosh, that means if you need the therapy, if you need to hire the coach, if you need to do the self-work, if you need time to heal, you need to do that in order to show up for those people. And like you said, host them. How do you treat a host? That was such a perfect example. You all your dedication while that host is in your house. It's you're giving all this focus to them, but before they came, you took time to prepare yourself, you took time to prepare the home and to welcome them into it. Same thing that you're doing with the people in your life. You are hosting them. But a time will come when they might not be there, and where are you going to be?
Exactly.
So,
Exactly.
I grew up hearing a lot of Oh, I did this, I always made my parents proud, and you gotta honor your parents and blah 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 blah. I'm like, but you also have to honor the reason why you're here. And in doing so, that means that you have to have this relationship with yourself first. Even what your parents have projected onto you isn't ultimately the truth. They were hosting you too, Woo! So I this topic is just like our audience must be like, I hope you guys are that are listening or taking notes. I'm telling you,
I
this
hope
is
so
a
too.
recipe for self-success, real success.
Yeah.
So we have some ideas how to start this. What's the first steps? How to practice? But how can we then start showing up as a friend? This is an important one because there's always an extreme to things. So before I ask that question, I need to point that out. We want to be our friend. We want to show compassion to our experience. However, there's a fine line between vulnerability and compassion and living in a victim mindset. And here's the thing, you could have totally been a victim of circumstances, of abuse, all these things. But there is a difference between those that survive and thrive and the ones that cave in. There is. And the difference is that one is stepping outside of the victim mindset and two saying, I'm going to take this experience because the sun continues to circle around the earth and I want to live the rest of my life differently, where the other one is still holding on to that space where they were victimized and all the reasons what we continue to find to be victimized. So in a self-friendship, we want to have vulnerability. We want to have self-care. But how do we do that without falling into that victim mindset with ourselves and then staying stuck there?
So here's a good way to look at this, okay? Because it is very easy for people to fall into the victim mindset and not even know it. Like a lot of people don't even know that they're doing it. So here is another way to look at it. So just how earlier we talked about who are you like beyond your titles, right? Okay, well, who are you beyond your experiences? So sometimes we get so attached to things that it makes up our identity, right? So let's say again, we're going to use the analogy of or the example of a mom. Tell me about yourself. I'm a mom. I have three kids. Okay. What do you like to do? Well, usually when I'm with my kids, but like it's a lot of things are revolved around the kids. Now, again, for those who are listening who have children that they take care of, I am not shaming you for this. I'm bringing up an example of how to relate this to what we're talking about. Sometimes we take a title and we make it like us, like this is all I am. This is my life. You actually even hear people say, my children are my whole life. How is that possible? How is that? So again, I know that there's someone who is not liking what I'm saying right now. That's okay. That's okay. But seriously, how are your children your whole life? You understand your whole life. If you're starting it from the time you were born, okay, we're not even talking about the time you were in a womb. Let's talk about from the time you were born to the time you physically die. Let's say that's your whole life. How are your children your whole life? They weren't even around when you were a child. Your partner can't be your whole life. You didn't even know them when you were born.
And the thing is, you'll have people thinking, but that's not what I mean. I mean that they're home my whole life now. But
Exactly. It does,
the
and that's
power of what you're
the
saying,
power of the
the
words.
power of what you're
Yeah.
saying.
It's the power of what you're saying. If you're saying, my children are my whole life, you're revolving everything around them. You've already forgotten about you. You've already forgotten about you. Who are you? You're just a mom. Who are you? So again, we become so wrapped up in a title, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in an experience. So let's take, for example, I had a client who was in a very bad domestic relationship, and this plagued her for so long, where she talked about it all the time. Like she talked about it all the time about this abuse, about how she almost died, about what this person did to her, and about how she didn't think she would live past a certain age. She just kept talking about it. Every time she talked about it, she would get emotional. The tears would come, like she would relive it all over again. This was real for her. She was living in a victim mindset. That doesn't mean that the experience was horrible. Yes, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible for her. It was traumatizing. But the more that we hold on to something and relive it with the same emotions, the same experience over and over again, it becomes us. We wrap ourselves into it to the point of, who are you? I'm a domestic abuse survivor. That's another title. Again, that doesn't mean your experience was not real. It doesn't mean that it is like small and not important. That's not what this means. But what it means is that you can't continue to attach yourself to everything. You see it for what it is. It's an experience. It was something you experienced. It was something you did survive from. But it didn't define who you are. It didn't say, this is now who you are. This is part of what you experienced. And when we are able to look at our different parts of our lives and say, this is part of my experience of living, right? Because we're here, we are these spiritual beings having these human experiences on earth. Everything is this conversation is an experience. You're a coach, I'm a coach, but that's not who we are. No, you're married, I'm married, but that's not who we are. You're a woman, I'm a woman. That's not all who we are, right? There's so much more to us. And I'm sure you've experienced some traumatic experiences. I've experienced traumatic experiences, but that's not who we are. These are things we experienced. But if I constantly attach myself to those things, that's me slipping into the victim mindset. I can talk about those experiences as they were. These were experience. These are things I experienced. These are things I experienced, but they didn't make up who I am. So when you attach yourself again, so it's if it's still if someone's listening to this and they're still unsure what this means, take a situation. Okay, let's take a situation, something that you hear yourself saying over and over and over again. And every time you attach those emotions to, like, oh my God, that was so scary. Oh my God, I can't believe it happened. Oh my God, and the tears come. Look at it and observe it for what it was, an experience. It happened in the past. Look at it from an outside point of view now. Look at it as someone who just experienced it. If you're watching a movie, you look at it and look at it what it for what it was. It was something you experienced, but it's not who you are. So it's that's how we can look at that, look at those situations, and without it taking us back into victim mindset, into that victim mode, because again, some people don't even know they're doing it. They don't know. And that's mostly too because they don't have much self-awareness. And again, this is not, I keep saying this, but I want to drive this home. This is not to shame or blame anyone. This is to help us get more clarity around how we can see how we do things in our lives and how we make them part of our lives. So again, to avoid going into the victim mindset, look at the things that happen to you as an experience. And when you have an experience, what do you do with it? You decide, like, well, what do I want to do from this? What do I want to take from this experience? So just like this conversation, what do I want to take from this experience with Sharon? So again, that's how we are able to avoid going into the victim mindset.
Yeah, and I think there's so many like aspects of the victim mindset too. Some of the things that I was thinking about was I heard a psychologist say a long time ago that when you're having, those recreated conversations that you're planning to have with someone else. Like, let's say that you're in a conflict and you're over here like rehearsing. Listen, I used to be like chronically always do that, right? You're actually experiencing a level of your experience, your mind can tell that you're like your body and everything is receiving as a real experience. So if you're feeling angry or whatever triggers are coming up, you're experiencing that fully. So you're taking your body, your mind through all that. So this just tells you the power of our mind. And when it comes to a victim mindset, I think that when you're in that place, I know because I've seen it and I have lived it myself too, you continue inviting the same thing over and over. Because I know that a lot of the people that are listening right now to what you said are like, but life has confirmed. And they're just like a little clue, like a little Blue's Clues there with the paw saying, is you, babe. But like you kind of know, but you're totally still like writing down on that handy dandy notebook, like, no, it's the world. And you're not realizing that by continuing to exist fully in what that victim scenario created for you, you're actually inviting more of it, because then your point of view in life is constantly looking for validation for that. And yes, you are being blindsided on the other things that you're able to create and the opportunities that you have when you start breaking away from that. Even if things are telling you, it's true, are you giving life the opportunity to show you something else? And that means that you have to try new things. And that means if you were advising a friend, what would you say to them, right? Friend, I feel you, right? But let's try to see if there's another option, right? Like, what would a friend do in that moment, right? What would you tell your friend? Would you tell them, cave in, be depressed, and, you know, stay in that bed? Would you say that to them? I mean, if you would, then, you know, we got to do some deep work. But normally, a lot of us will be like, no, friend, come see me. Let's, you know, there's other opportunities. But sometimes we can't even have that conversation with ourselves.
Right.
All right. So what are outliers? Because that came up. And how do we treat them in our self-friendship?
So outliers, okay, when I'm working with my clients, I like to use certain words that are not words you would typically use, because when you use a different word for similar situations, it lands differently, so you can take it in better. So outliers is what I like to call negative self-talk, all right? Or negative self-talk is what I like to call outliers. And so what that really is, like when you think about, like, you get people, I'm sure you've heard this from some of your clients, and just in conversation with people, and you probably experienced, I know we've all experienced negative self-talk. Like, we're saying negative things to ourselves about ourselves. And when people say, I just can't stop this negative self-talk, I cannot stop it. And what I like to challenge with that is that it's not negative self-talk. It's, they're outliers. They're outside influences that you've taken on as your truth. Okay. So for example, let's say, you know, if you weren't, when you were a child and you had a sibling who was really book smart and your sibling always got good grades, like always aced all the tests, and you were more of an average student. So you got decent grades, you know, but, you know, you were more into sports, you know, or more into the arts. You didn't really put that much effort into grades. It wasn't your thing, whatever the case may be. And every holiday when you're around your big family and they're talking about like how school and your sister over there, it's like, well, I'm on the honor roll. And they're like, well, what about you? And like, well, I passed with a C. Like, they're like, why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you get better grades? Why are you not working hard enough? Why are you putting your all your time into your sports? Like, how are you going to get a good job? Now, mind you, this child is maybe only 7, right? But you're telling the child, how are you going to get a good job? Like, you have to make us proud, make your teachers proud, do your best. You know, that child may even get punished, like actually punished for bringing home grades. And maybe it's not because the child isn't doing their best. It could be because that is their limit. Like, they can only get a C, or their understanding of the subject is beyond what they're comprehending, or the teacher is just not a good vibe for them, whatever the case may be. This child is now punished. This child is talked down, fingers pointed, be better, make us proud. You're not doing good enough. What do you think happens? You take that as the truth. Now it's in your head, I'm not good enough. If I don't work hard, I'm not accepted. My family won't even accept me. And they don't understand that I just can't get an A. I just can't. I tried it. I just can't get the A for whatever reason. So, okay, now what? Now you go into get a job. All right. There's a contest at work. You're working at McDonald's. And the manager is saying, okay, this month, whoever sells the most Big Macs is going to be on the wall for employee of the month. And here you are like, oh, I want to do that because I want that recognition. I want that validation that I'm good at something, right? You're selling your butt off with those Big Macs. But Johnny Jim over there, he sold 2 more and his picture's on the wall. Now you're coming back to, I'm not good enough. Even when I tried hard, I still wasn't good enough. I wasn't better than Jimmy John, just like I wasn't better than my sister. I'm not good enough for anyone. And then you get into a relationship. right? Your first high school crush and everything is great and oh, you're kissing, loving, oh, everything is wonderful. And then boom, your boyfriend dumps you for the cheerleader. I'm not better than her. I'm not good enough to even keep a relationship.
Just
So you see
continue
what it's just it's playing
validating that
over and
core
over.
belief.
Yes. All of those things are key. It's all it's doing is validating what was told to you that you're not good enough. So now you keep telling yourself, I'm not good enough. This is negative self-talk. It's not self-talk. You're taking it as self-talk because some other people put it in your head. These are outliers. You took it on as your truth. And so what we can do when that self-friendship comes about, right? So for example, if you and I are talking, Sharon, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Sharon, you know what? I really tried this year, but I suck. Like, I'm just not doing a good job. I might as well just close up my business and go apply at a fast food restaurant. Like, are you going to be like, yeah, Denise, you suck? Like, no. You're going to encourage me. You're probably going to ask me questions like, okay, well, what's not working? Like, you will talk to me to help me. You will try to support me, encourage me, get a clear understanding of where are these thoughts even coming from, right? You're not going to just let me sit and wallow and close my business and go apply for fast food. You're going to talk to me, right? You're going to say, I'm here for you. Let's talk about this. Let's do that with ourselves. So we sit in silence and say, okay, I know I'm thinking that I'm not good enough, but is that really true? Not really true. And this is where I like to bring in with my clients something I call the evidence list. Now, I'm more than positive I didn't just create this. I'm pretty sure this is something that's out there and I just saw it one day. I don't know. But it's something that I love to use with my clients is the evidence list. Anyone can do this. So those who are listening, you can do this, okay? The evidence list is you creating a list of things you want to be true, right? That you know are your truths. So for example, let's use the example of I'm not good enough, okay? If you're saying like, I want to start my own business, but everything I've tried in the past didn't go out so great. So why would I start this new business? Oh, maybe I shouldn't. I'm not good enough for it. You create this evidence list of why you know that that's not true. Those thoughts are not true. So now you may put, you know what? I know I'm good enough to start my own business because I had that lemonade stand and sold 3 cups of lemonade when I was six. I know that I'm good enough to start my own business because I've already had a few friends told me how they think I would be awesome at my own business. I know these. So you start to list all the things that you know are true, right? These are things, so it's not like you're making them up. These are things you know are true. So you're validating why you're good enough, where what you've been doing is validating why you're not good enough based on other people. So again, that self-friendship, you are having the conversation with yourself is why am I having these thoughts? Where are they coming from? And do I believe that they are true? I want to believe that they are true. You know, so again, having those conversations, but again, you have to be willing. Okay. If you're telling yourself, oh, that doesn't work, that's like affirmations, that doesn't work. Nothing works if you say it's not going to work. Point blank, right? You have to be willing. You can't just say you want to do it. You have to be willing to do the work. And it's not going to always be easy. It's going to have its challenging moments, but this is why knowing why, going back to knowing why you want to make those changes and willing to make the changes is so key.
I will even say, a great question. Like, if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I want to make some changes. I feel really, motivated. Where are you willing to start? Might even be a great first question to ask yourself. Where am I willing to start? Okay, I'm willing to start here, right? I'm willing to, start journaling again or whatever that action is. And what does that mean? I love the evidence list because one of the questions that I ask clients, again, very similar as a coach, when we're encountering limits, like limitations or limited mindset, is saying, so is that factual or is that a belief? And they're like, they immediately know, right? But they're sitting there like, let me really think about that. That's a belief, right? Because I'm like, because where's the evidence, right? We all know what a fact is. It's like a proven thing. It's not proven. Okay, it's a belief. Okay. Like, let's dig into that belief, right? So I love that. That being said, right, dealing with the outliers, which is correlated, I feel, with also managing the victim mindset. Everything's related here. prioritizing us, the friendship with us, you're not less nurturing. You're not less of anything just because you take time to work with you so that you can show up how you want to in this world. We just like the world, a portion of the world says otherwise, guess what? There's another portion here telling you otherwise. So you figure it out. Which one is more beneficial for you? Because if you've been doing the other one and it's not working and you're burned out and you're this and that, then maybe let's open a new door and see what lies ahead, right? But what would you like the audience to walk away with today out of all of this? Because it's a lot.
Out of everything that we talked about, and I know it was a whole lot, I would encourage you to take some time, like truly take some time and think about the way you want the rest of your life to be and what you want it to feel like. Okay, we can come up with a whole goal list and vision board of things you may want, like a house and car and money and all the things, but what do you want life to feel like? Okay, let me say that again. Think about the rest of your life and what do you want it to feel like? And then you ask yourself, how am I able to create that feeling for myself? How am I able to create that feeling for myself? Not asking how other people can make it happen for you, like your spouse, your kids, your friends. No, how can you create that first? Other people may contribute to it as well. Sure, absolutely. But you're your first point of contact. So how do I want the rest of my life to feel? And how can I create that feeling for myself?
I just want to remind other people that don't believe burnout is a real thing, even though they're experiencing it. It lands, I think, like number 11th in like current disease, like sickness, especially in our country. So just want us to keep that in mind. That is a real thing that more and more people are experiencing. And I think that today this has been a gift to initiate getting out of burnout, getting out of a lot of dark places for you, the listener, who is resonating with this message. And you can continue having support outside of this podcast. So Denise, please share how people can contact you.
Yes, you can find me on my website, denisemarsh.net, D-E-N-I-S-E, Marsh, M-A-R-S-H.net. On there, you can find a link to get on a complimentary love chat with me. And a love chat is a way for us to discover if working with me as your mindset coach or attending one of my transformational retreats is a good fit for you. I do have two retreats coming up this year. I have one in April for womenpreneurs in Orlando, Florida. And I have one in September in Bali for creating that self-friendship. And so that's a great way to connect with me. Or you can also reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram. It's just under my name, Denise Marsh. And you can send me a private message there and we can communicate that way too.
Awesome. Her information is going to be in the description below. So you'll be able to directly contact her. And as you know, I provide one-on-one services as well. My information is always provided below. So we hope that you were able to nurture yourself during this conversation and really analyze, really meditate on what it is that's really calling you today. Because our body knows, our mind knows, our heart knows, our soul knows what we're needing at this moment. So do not hesitate to embark with those things and people like us that are out here to help you out. Thank you so much, Denise. It was such an honor. Thank you for the beautiful message. And to our audience, until next time.
Thanks, Sharon.